talks to me like a friend. What can I do? We just live in a zoo. All I do is play the space ball ricochet. Deep in my heart, there's a house that can hold just about all the use. I bought a car, it was old but kind. I gave it my mind and it disappeared. I love a girl, she is a changeless angel. She's a sin, it's a pity that I'm like me, yeah. How can I live when all I do is play the space ball ricochet? I'm just a man. I understand the wit in all the things that make the children cry. With my Les Paul, I'm small, but I enjoy living anyway. Yes, I do. Deep in my heart, there's a house that can hold just about all of you. How can I live when all I do is play the space ball ricochet? Oh baby, the space ball ricochet. Oh mama, the space ball.
This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Social Media and Promotions Director Jamie Rosenkranz. Thank you for joining us today. Tonight's News at 5 will remember the fallen, all those who lost their lives on 9/11, and the men and women fighting for our freedom. Tonight's top stories are an interview with a King student and daughter of a 9/11 victim, and a look into the service dogs seen around campus. We'll also hear this week's Music Monday, a sports story on the Marlins man, and your weather forecast for the start of the week. September 11th has impacted us all as we remember and give thanks to all those who gave their lives for our freedom. Sean Grassi got to sit down and hear the story of King Sr. Alexis Perez.
Today is the 16th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on September 11th. We remember the horror and tragedy that occurred on that fateful day. Alexis Perez, a senior here at King's College, has a very close connection to September 11th.
What it means to me is that it's like a day of remembrance for something that has affected us all uniquely, because you can ask any New Yorker or anyone in America and they will remember where they were. Unfortunately, I have a direct tie to it because I lost my father. So it's just an anniversary of when he passed away. So my dad was the computer guy for eSpeed, a sub-department. He worked on the 103 floor at the top right with a bunch of people. My friend Anna Patterson, her dad worked there too. And like, we were best friends from there. He was in Tower 1 and he was just like the computer guy. If they had any problems, they would come and talk to him. He was like the head computer manager.
Alexis regales the day through the eyes of her four-year-old self as she experienced what her mother was going through.
And then all of a sudden, I remember my teacher grabbing my favorite raincoat because it was a rainy day. And she's like, okay, it's time to go home. And then I was really confused because I was like, I just got here. So we packed up my bag and I walk out to the main lobby of Aunt MacArthur Primary School. That's where I went. And I saw my mom collapsed in my principal's arms, hysterically crying. I have never seen my mom so sad, and I didn't understand why. Like, how do you tell your daughter that the place where your dad works just went down from one, from a plane? So, and then I remember going to the car and I see our church friend, Mrs. Hurtline, and she's like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And my mom's just like too hysterical. And all I kept like remember hearing is my mom said, it went down, it went down. And I don't know what that means. Like, I'm four. And then we got back to the house and Kim's Hurtline's children, Sarah and Andrew, came over and we were watching like Disney as my mom was upstairs with Mrs. Hurtline watching the towers go down. And I remember going up right before the second tower went down.
For WRKC News at 5, I'm Sean Grassy.
A multitude of new service dogs walked and pawed their way through campus. Station manager Katie Pugh spoke with Assistant Residence Life Director Steve Matashevitz to discuss the accommodations made for these animals.
Had service animals on campus over the years, but a recent influx of service dogs, puppies in training, and emotional support animals. Much of these animals are comprised of service dogs in training. These are young dogs who are being raised by volunteers until they are old enough to receive specialized training. The dogs come from special puppy-raising organizations, the primary of which being Warren Retrievers, who train Labradors and Golden Retrievers to be diabetic alert dogs. Diabetic alert dogs help people with diabetes by reminding them to take their medication and even alerting their handlers of hyper and hypoglycemia before these events become dangerous. The dog will alert the handler and do things like get their medication and find a place to sit down. These dogs, though only in training, have the same rights as adult service dogs, meaning under the Americans with Disabilities Act, these dogs can enter nearly every building, including living in college housing, and going to classes. Steve Matashevitz, Assistant Director of Residence Life, described the rights the animals have at King's.
In PA, you know, we learned last year that service dogs in training are treated no differently than service dogs that have completed the training. So on campus, we have to treat them the same as well. So that permits students, if they are training a service dog, to have it on campus. Just as if they had a service dog for a need, it could be on campus. There's no, we differentiate.
Matashevitz talked about any changes to campus policy regarding the animals.
No, we've, I think, added some, you know, a few pieces of paper here or there, some processes as far as, you know, make sure the roommates are okay with it if there are roommates involved, talking through liability stuff with the student, if there's damage to the room or an infestation of fleas or something like that, you know, talking through those things. But really, we haven't had to modify a lot, really just getting used to people of the idea, you know, to the idea of there being animals on campus.
Matashevitz also discussed the impact the dogs have had and if there are any issues with them.
No issues so far. Some people not recognizing it's a service animal or something along those lines, but early in the morning, or but nothing crazy. It's been pretty smooth. You know, we had one last year too. It was there's no impact really on the community, so it was easy for us. Again, if the impact to, as long as the dogs don't impact people who don't have the dog, fine with me. They're being trained for a good cause, and you know, I have no negative feelings towards it whatsoever.
Emotional support animals, though they must be accommodated for in housing, do not have the same rights as service dogs, Matashevitz explains.
We do have emotional support animals too. Those are a whole different category. I think the service animals in training, they're done through an independent contractor who provides the dogs and the training to train the dogs and things like that. Emotional support animals, we're seeing more of those on campus too, but there's a difference. I don't know. They're to be kept in the room only. They can't be taken to class or anything like that. So, but we do. We're starting to see those now on campus more, because it's, you know, the kind of trending as we go.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Station Manager Katie Pugh.
Coming up next, we'll get the freshest beats on Music Monday, your sports news, and a look at the weather.
There's a threat targeting America, Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, this dangerous disease can cause life-changing health problems and is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. So it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside and seeing a doctor if you experience the warning signs, which can include joint pain and flu-like symptoms. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
Hi, this is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and you're listening to WRKC 88.5 Wilkes Barre.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
What's going on? This is Sam Zavada, and you're listening to Music Monday, a program that highlights the best music in college radio right here on WRKC. The first artist on the docket tonight is Laura Savage, and the song you're about to listen to is called Alien. This next song is Falls Like the Rain, and it comes from White Owl Red off of their new album, Naked and Falling.
Yes, I know you feel as I do, just like two subway strangers. Here we are with all the talk.
Finally, the final song in this edition of Music Monday comes from Guilty Giraffe. It's their new single, Washed Out. And that's what I have to share with you on this edition of Music Monday on the WRKC News at 5. I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC, and have a wonderful night.
If you've ever watched any major sporting event, you probably noticed a man wearing a bright orange Miami Marlins jersey and visor. That man is Lawrence Levy. Many fans recognize him because he sits in the best seats at every sporting event, but many fans are unaware of Levy's philanthropic work and how he came to be the Marlins man. Marlins man first achieved fame after attending a Miami Heat playoff game, but earlier in the day, he attended a Miami Marlins baseball game, and the legend began to grow.
The Heat were losing by 14 points in the Indiana Pacers. And they came back and they won. And there was an article written that, you know, the guy in the orange shirt was a good luck charm. I wore the orange jersey to three more Heat games and won them all. The next week, the guy I was dating said, hey, don't you dare bring that shirt. We're going out to dinner afterwards. I don't want to be seen with you like that. Don't wear it. And what happened was the Heat lost. And one of the articles in the internet the next day was not that Chris Bosh was cold and LeBron James missed the shot and Dwayne Wade was short on his shots most of the night. It was that fan in the orange shirt didn't show up and jinx the Heat. Well, I was there, but they didn't see me in orange. They just presumed since he wasn't there in orange, he wasn't there at all. I wore it the rest of the time, and the Heat went off the way, and they won their first championship. And then I stopped dating the girl because she didn't like me going around in the shirt.
After an invitation to attend the 2014 World Series in San Francisco, Levy tells a story on how he achieved the nickname Marlins Man.
I didn't make it up either. I was in San Francisco. I was at the Golden Gate Bridge. And I went to a place, I crossed the ropes that do not cross, take a selfie at the end of the cliff with two park rangers. They were yelling and screaming at me. One guy said, wait a minute, are you the guy we saw on TV last night when we won the game? I said, yep. Oh, I want a picture with you. You're a good luck charm. And the other guy, the guy that was nasty to me, said, you're like Mr. Marlin. And I said, I can't be Mr. Marlin. That's Jeff Conine. And then the nice guy said to me, oh, you're the Marlins man, like the Marlboro man. Came back to Florida and told my office staff that story. When my birthday came up the next year, they got a Marlins jersey that was orange, made for me, that said Marlins Man on the back. And that's what I wore around the country to make them happy. And it got really, really big and popular. And every year when somebody won the World Series, I would put the jersey that I wore up for sale on eBay with a hat and a little gift package. And in San Francisco, it went for like $5,600. In Kansas City, it went for like $4,400. And I gave 100% of the money to Make-A-Wish of that area. Started. And when people heard, wait a minute, that guy shows up in our neighborhood, he's not a jerk trying to be just noticed for his color. He's trying to bring attention to his Pay It Forward campaign to make this country a better place, one game at a time. And he donates all the money to charity, and he always brings strangers with him. It became like a cult following or a phenomenon. And there are imitators, and there are people who call me like how they can do good things too, and I like that.
Once Marlins Man had his own jersey, he attended the World Series in 2014 in Kansas City. Sitting behind home plate, the cameras easily focused in on him, and that's how he started to gain national attention.
I didn't really go to all the baseball games in orange, but all the Heat games I went to in orange, and they won. So everybody in the NBA saw me in orange. Heat won 27 games in a row, and I was at all of them in orange. You can go to the 28th game, and they lost. It turned out to be like a lucky thing. When I started in 2014 going to MLB games like that, it really blew up at the World Series with the Royals, because I was actually in Kansas City the week before when they played the Baltimore Orioles. And nobody said a word to me because there's a lot of Orioles fans there in orange. Well, when the World Series started, the Royals were not used to seeing only orange in their blue stadium. And the Giants fans came, a lot of them came, but none of them had bought the seats behind home plate. And so on TV, people are like, what the heck is that? I didn't see what you see. I only see the field. And I didn't realize I was the only one there. And as my friend started sending me pictures from across the country, that's when I realized, uh-oh.
Being a workers' compensation lawyer, Levy described how he originally bought tickets to impress clients, but as his vision declined, he needed to sit closer to enjoy the games.
In Florida, if you sent me a case, a really good workers' comp case, I'm not allowed to give you cash and thank you. It's illegal in most states, too. But what you can do is give people tickets to events. So if you sent me a really good case, let's say, I could say, hey, you want to go to a Dolphin-Cowboys game? Or you want to go to the Heat-Lakers game? Broad season ticket to everything. And I always gave tickets away. And so it would impress the people. I tried to buy the very best seats in the stadium. Well, for years, I sat above the on-deck circles in baseball. In around 1998, had eye surgery. I had -9 vision. That means I had like Coke bottle lenses. They got to the point the lenses wouldn't correct my vision anymore. So I had to have the surgery then. I couldn't read. And I had the surgery, and it didn't work great. And I had a lot of trouble seeing far. So I could see to drive. I could see up to the infield, but I couldn't see the outfield. Actually, what they call farsighted in one eye and nearsighted in the other. And I was having to focus like that. So they did another surgery on me. So I was able to wear glasses to read. That's why I wear glasses. And I was able to wear glasses to see pretty much the whole game. Well, I moved the home plate so I could see what the heck was going on the other side of the pitcher. And all I could really see was the infield at a baseball game. I could see a basketball game fine, but when I got to that distance, past maybe second base or shortstop, I had no idea where the ball was or where the outfielders were. I could see blurry, even in glasses. So that's why I moved to home plate initially, was so I could see in baseball. never envisioning that that would become a thing for me.
These are the reasons why Lawrence Levy, also known as Marlins Man, got his name, and the reason why we see him on national television wearing his notorious orange jersey and visor. The second part of this story comes out Friday on the News at 5 as we dive in deeper about Levy's philanthropic work and the people he encounters at every sporting event he attends. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm sports director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 52. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 81. And Wednesday will be partly cloudy with a high of 77. The 7th Annual Diversity Festival begins Wednesday with a Spanish fiesta, film screening, and a game night. Visit Regina Court Wednesday from 11 to 2 for the festival. The Mass Communications Campaigns class, taught by Ms. Janine Luby, is collecting relief money for hurricane victims Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. in room 413 of McGowan. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm the Social Media and Promotions Director, Jamie Rosenkranz. Have a spectacular day.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.
No time.